Awesome. Very cool. I'll just go. I'll go. You guys can just keep going. You guys are awesome. Why don't you grab a seat? Except for you. Do you want to stay there?
Yeah.
I love playing with music. I love speaking with music.
Yeah.
It's heap more poignant, you know, when there's music playing. I like it. That's so good. Very good. Who's had a good weekend? Me and Katie have. What about everyone else? Who's feeling good tonight? Who's happy to be here? I certainly am. I love being in the house of God, morning, night, you know, wherever I am. I love being in church. So I'm excited to be here tonight. And I really feel like the Lord's really given me something cool to say to you. And I'm excited to share it. But just before I start, I was a bit worried about getting up onto the stage because I played footy yesterday and I strained my hamstring. And I actually did that on Thursday at training, so I shouldn't have played yesterday, but I played anyway. And I did it even worse. And then halfway through the game, I did my quad as well. So I was wondering how I was going to make it up onto the stage. And I'm in worship as well, and I'm doing this one. And then I went to do this one and realized how sore my arm is from football. So I struggled through church, but I'm here to this point, so I'm happy to make it this far. Hopefully I can make it the rest of the way. But also I was... Yeah, that's the man. You're the man, Jed. Jed, I'd love a chair. You can get me one too. No, just kidding. At Hillsong, that dude preached sitting on an armchair. It was really cool, but he was awesome. And I was glad that you made it through worship tonight. Last time I was here, you were playing so hard, the keyboard fell onto the ground halfway through, and I was kind of hoping it would happen again just because it was cool. But no, it's awesome. I love to be here. My message tonight is not just for you. It's more for the world that you live in. And it's I was listening to the words of that song, you know, this awakening, you know, for our world, Lord, your will be done. And to me, my heart is so much for other people, you know. I've got a great God. I live a great life. But I'd rather other people benefit more than myself, you know. I'd rather see myself suffer rather than someone else suffer. I'd rather see someone else have great joy than myself. I really love to live for other people, you know. And as a youth pastor full time, I get the honor and the privilege to just go around every day, just seeing other people and hanging out with kids and just trying my best to see them succeed in life. And I really believe that as Christians, our life is all about other people. And so this morning, I hope you can tonight even. Hope you can take something away from this, not just for you, but for someone else. And the title of this message is, Can You Hear the Cry? Everyone say, Can You Hear? The Cry. The Cry. Now everyone cry. No, not really. You know, as Christians, there's a booming man in the box down here. As Christians, you know, we understand that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world full of hurting people. We live in a world full of people that are struggling. We live in a world full of people who are living life in pain. And we understand this as Christians. And I was thinking about this the other week. And I was just in my lounge room watching footy, probably. I watched too much football. But I was sitting there just thinking about this world that we live in. And you don't have to go too far to see that our world is a world that is full of hurt. And we don't have to go too far to see that our world is a world in need. And you, all you have to do is pick up a newspaper any day of the week just to see what is going on in the world. And I just went and picked up a newspaper from the pile next to our bin. And you know, this was some of the headlines in the first couple of newspapers. Mum reveals her horror. And that was talking about how her ex-husband beat her children and ended up driving them into a dam, killed them all. Next headline I read was, A Smash Kills a Man. About a man died tragically in a car accident under the influence of alcohol. Another headline I read, Pair Bash Man in House. You know, we live in a hurting world full of brokenness. And a man dies in a freeway crash. You know, you don't have to go too far. Just pick up the newspaper. Go home tonight, pick up the newspaper. You can see that this world is full of people that are hurting. And 26 pages in, which says something in itself, there was this little headline, A Million Hit by Deluge. Rescuers were yesterday struggling to reach victims of flooding in Pakistan that has killed 900 people over the past week. The UN estimates that 1 million people have been affected already by this disaster. Just 26 pages in, hidden away in the back of the newspaper. Somewhere in the world, 1 million people are affected by a crazy flood and 900 people were killed. And, And I'm just thinking, God, we live in a world that is so full of need, so full of cries, so full of need. And you know, I understand that as a Christian, it's my job to do something about this. You know, it's not just the job of the United Nations. It's not just the job of aid organizations across the world. It's the job of the church to reach into to these sad stories and these sad situations. They're not just headlines. They're real people in real need with real problems, and they are all around us. And tonight I just want to share a Bible story about two guys who saw some need in their world, and they did something amazing for the kingdom of God. And even this week, I just want to paint this picture for you. You know, you can see outwardly, you know, across the world that all this stuff is happening. But every week I'm in our local high schools, and every week I'm hearing sad stories about kids just struggling and kids in need. You know, in the last 2 weeks in our youth ministry, we had one girl lost her dad in just unexpected, just died just like that. We had another girl who lost her uncle and her mum tried to kill herself. And then only today I was talking to a mum whose son's just been caught dealing drugs and he's in a whole lot of trouble. You know, even in my own world, there is so much going on. You know, my mum right now is being rocked by an illness that, you know, the same illness, the same cancer that killed her father is attacking her again. And she went in and it's not looking great for her. But I know my God is above that. I know that that sickness is under the name of Jesus. And all these things that happen in the world around us, they are under the name of Jesus. And He is in our lives, and we've got power to change it. As Christians, we've got to understand that we live in a hurting and fallen world. But as Christians, we must understand it's our responsibility to do something about it. Can you say amen? Jesus said in John 14:12, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do." See, Jesus left us with his Holy Spirit, gave us his power, but he didn't give us this power so we can enjoy good services, have a fun prayer line, fall over, go home and be unchanged. He left us this power so that we could receive it and then go out into the world that we're a part of and make a difference. We don't have this power to enjoy our Christianity. We have this power to go out and change the world. We've got this power that we can go out, do greater works than Jesus did, and see people that don't know him come into life and come into light and come into hope, to come into our churches and be full of the Holy Spirit and full of his power. That is what the power of God is for. The rescue job is up to us, the church, to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Now, I want to read from the book of Acts, story. We've all heard it 1,000 times before, probably heard it preached 4 times before. And it's Acts chapter 3, and I've got 4 points, and I'll pray, and then we'll be done. And you won't have to, hopefully your fingers won't fall off or anything. I'll try and be really fast for you, and we can go and enjoy a good night. But reading from the book of Acts, chapter 3, and I'll start reading in verse 1. It says, "Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one they called the beautiful gate, so he could beg from the people who went into the temple. He saw Peter and John about to enter, and he asked them for some money." My first point tonight is that to be people that change this world, to take this power and make a difference in someone else's life, is we must hear the cries of the world. The title of this whole message is we've got to hear the cry. And my first point tonight is we've got to hear the cry of this world. Proverbs 21:13 says, "Those who shut their ears to the cries of the poor will be ignored in their own time of need." And we live in a world, as I painted the picture at the start, that is so full of need. That is so full of people crying out for someone to do something. Not necessarily crying out for Jesus, not necessarily crying out for the church, but we've got a world full of people that are crying out for something. They're crying out for a hand, they're crying out for help. And to be people that take this power to the world, it starts with hearing the cries of this world. In the story that we're reading, the cry is from a beggar who's outside the temple gate, just crying out, asking people for money. Everyone that goes past, he's asking them for some cash. You know, and this world is full of people crying out. Sometimes the cry is a different cry. The cry for this man, he needed some money. He was crying out for people to give to him because he had nothing. He had no He had no movement in his legs. He was a lame man. He couldn't go and get anything for himself. He was crying out for money. But there's a lot of people crying out for different things in this world. There's young girls in our schools just crying out for a father figure. There's young men just trying to cry out for the same thing. We've got a world full of people. We've got young mums just crying out for help. We've got old people just crying out for someone to sit with them. You know, we've got a world full of people and the cries sound different. And in your own life, I don't know whether you've got people that are crying out for you. And sometimes the cries might be loud. Sometimes the cries might be right up and in your face. Sometimes the cries might be subtle. Sometimes the cries aren't even loud enough to hear. But we're living a world that is full of people crying out. And to be people who change this world with the power of God, we've got to hear the cry. We've got to have our ears tuned to the cry of this world. And I know some of you right now, immediately you're like, yeah, I know that cry. I've heard that a particular person. And you may have people in your life who you already know that are crying out for something. And tonight my prayer at the end is that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the people in your life that are crying out. And you might not have heard their cry yet. You might not know that they're there, but God's going to reveal to you some cries tonight that you can go and actually be a physical difference in their world. You know, on a side note, you know, people, it's important to hear the cries because often it's only in the cries that people are actually looking for something to make a difference. And what I mean by that is I know a lot of people who have Christian friends, but they're going well in life and they seem to have no need. They seem, you know, you try and talk to them about church and they kind of just brush it off and you're like, oh, I don't need any of that. I'm going well in life. But it's in the moment in their life when a cry arises, when something happens and a cry comes, that's when they look to the church. That's when they look for someone. That's when they look for something. And you might have people in your life that are going, you know, it's all good. It's totally fine. But wait until there's a cry in their life and they come to you. And that's when we have the opportunity to meet a need and speak into the truth of Jesus's reality. You know, when the cry comes, that's when our door opens to bring in Jesus. That's why we have to have ears that can hear the cry. Does that make sense? So Peter and John were on their way to the temple and they were walking past a man who was daily laid at the gate. Daily he laid there. Not this was the first day that they laid him at the gate of the temple. Daily this man was placed at the gate to ask people for money. And so daily people must have just walked straight on past him. Daily people must have just looked at, cast a side glance and just kept on walking. I don't know how many days, maybe it was weeks, maybe it was months, maybe it was years, but this guy was laid there at the side of the gate until two men, Peter and John, heard his cry and they looked down at him and then my second point, I'll get to it, but is there people crying in your life? Are there people that are looking to you for an answer? Have you ever walked someone and heard a cry? Because you have the power in Jesus to be the answer to that cry. You have the power in Jesus to respond. You have the power to change their situation. You have the power in Jesus to change their circumstances. All in the name of Jesus. So Peter and John are walking past and they see a dude at the temple and he cries out, "Can I have some money?" And they stop and they look at him. And my second point is we must give attention to the need. Continuing to read on, it says, Peter and John looked at him. Peter and John stopped and looked at him intently. And Peter said to the lame man, "Look at us." So our first step is we have to hear the cry. The second is giving attention to the need. See, when we hear the cry of people, when we give attention to that cry, then we can see the need that they have. And so Peter and John, they saw this man and they looked and they immediately, they heard the need. But when you give attention to a cry, you can see what the true need is. And I will move on to that in a second. But there was a social experiment done in Victoria. I saw it on TV when I wasn't watching the football, which isn't that often. It's about the only thing I ever watch. But there was an experiment done and they got an actor. They paid him to go lay in the street, cry out. They sort of beat him, roughed him up a little bit. And his job for an hour was just to cry out to people and to see how many people would come and help him. They did this experiment in two locations. They did it in Melbourne City and they did it in Victoria Country. So for 1 hour, they put him in the street. He was crying out, laying there. And in Melbourne City, in 1 hour, not a single person stopped to see if this guy was okay. Not a single person stopped to say, is this guy all right? Or does this guy need a hand? What's wrong with this guy? no idea what was going on in their minds, whether they were scared, whether they were fearful, which is understandable seeing as, you know, what happens in big cities. But for not a single person to walk past really just says something so loud. Yet they did the same thing in the country town of Victoria. And every single person that walked past this dude stopped. Are you okay, sir? Do you need a hand? Can I help you? Every single person. What a contrast. And I'm thinking, geez, we've got to be country people, don't we? We've got to be country bumpkin people that aren't too busy and aren't too proud and aren't too in a hurry just to stop and reach down when we see people crying. We've got to be people that have the time. We've got to be people that have the care to reach down and just say, are you okay? I heard your cry. Do you need a hand? Can I help you? Because it's when we hear their cry and we stop, not just when we hear a cry, glance and keep walking, but when we stop, when we hear a cry and we give attention, when we say, hey, look at me, we can see a need and we can see the true need that's really there. So many bits of paper flying around up here. Might get a paper cut. See, Peter and John, they heard him. He asked for money, and that was what he was crying out for with his mouth. But the reality of that, this situation was this guy needed so much more than money. And you see, to all the people that walked past before Peter and John, all they heard was this guy crying out for money. And I don't know what they were thinking. I'm not giving this guy money. It's my money. I'm not giving it to him. But Peter and John stopped and looked at him, and instantly they realized this dude needs more than money. He's got no legs. Well, he had legs, but they didn't work. He needed so much more than just money. And when they stopped and looked at him, when they heard the cry and then gave attention to it, they saw, okay, this guy needs more than just our money. Because they stopped, because they heard the cry, they were able to see the need. And that's when our door opens to step in with the gospel, to step in with the good news of Jesus, to step in with the name of God and bring that power that we carry in our hands, to bring that power we carry in our lives. When we meet a need, not just so we can preach, but it opens a door. When we see a need and we meet that need, it opens a door for Jesus to come in. That's what meeting needs does. You know, I remember being on a conference at the Gold Coast, and cool conference on the Gold Coast, not complaining, it was all good, but one of the saddest things I've seen at a conference was I got outside and there was a dude, just homeless guy, I reckon, you know, he had his 15 plastic bags with all his stuff in it and three long necks on the ground and one in his hand. He was kind of rolling around in his own, you know, spew and his own whatever, and he smelled, and it was not a very pretty sight, to be honest. And but I just sat, he was sitting on a bench, and I sat opposite for a while because he just caught my attention and I was just watching him. I sat and I just watched him, and I watched as the conference finished, and I watched as every single person left the conference, and I watched as every single person just walked on past. A couple of them glanced over. Talking about how good's God. Oh, what an amazing presence of God. What a great word. What an awesome ministry time. But no one stopped to see if this dude was all right. And I went over and I tried to talk to him, and I kind of patted him on the back, and he didn't know what day it was. He didn't know where he was. But you know, for no one to walk past, for no one to see this dude needed a hand. That's our job. That is the job of the church. That's my job, to see if this guy's okay, to hear a cry, silent or loud, to see a need and then try and be the hands and feet of Jesus. That is what we're here to do. When they told the man to look at us, they made a connection that allowed them to go deeper than just the superficial. When Peter and John looked at the beggar, they said to him, look at us. They made a connection that was deeper than just the surface, deeper than just a high five and a pat on the back. They made a connection with him that allowed them to go deeper than just the surface. And it was in that connection they made when they stopped and they gave him their attention and he gave them theirs, that something amazing was able to happen. That the Holy Spirit sort of turned up in that moment, and he was looking at them and they were looking at him, and there was this amazing opportunity for the power of God to be revealed. And it's amazing what happens when we just stop and we give the time and we give the attention and we make an effort and we sacrifice our own time and our own life. It's amazing to see what happens. It's amazing how God is really with us. It's amazing how faithful he is to really just step in and make a difference in someone else's life, you know. got so many stories of kids in high schools. That's where I mainly minister with kids in high schools. I'm there, you know, four out of five days a week in local high schools, in Emmanuel, in Rokeby, sometimes in Clarence. Please pray. They're really hard to let us go and do stuff there. Dan knows, Mel knows. But we're there, and I just get to sit with kids and meet a need and see Jesus turn up in their life. I've been in meeting rooms with kids as we just talk about stuff and then play rain down on me and see kids just have an encounter with God in the meeting room next to the principal. It's awesome to see how God turns up when we trust Him and when we meet a need and we give attention to people. We've got to hear the cry. We've got to give attention to their need. And my third point tonight is we have to respond in the name of Jesus. Reading on in Acts 3. Now the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the hand, helped him up. As he did this, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. Awesome. We've got to find a way to respond to needs in the name of Jesus. You know, we've got to just meet needs. There's people in our world, in your world, in my world, they've got real needs. You know, there's people that need shoes. That's a real need. They need a pair of shoes. There's people out there hungry. They've got a real need. They need food. And we've got all these people full of real needs. But we've got to find a way, and I'm working on this too, to meet that need, but respond in the name of Jesus. You know, there's so many organizations that just help out and meet needs, but few of them are like the church and have the power of God and are able to respond in the name of Jesus. And that's the power that we have. It's what Jesus said to us. I tell you the truth, he who believes in me, greater works will he do than I did, because I go to my Father. Anything you do in my name, I will do on this earth. We have power in the name of Jesus to not just meet needs, but to respond in the name of Jesus. Thing I love about this story is that the lame man was crying out for money. That was his need. That was what he wanted. But Peter and John didn't respond to the physical need because he didn't have any money, but he responded in the name of Jesus. And they gave this man something even more valuable than what he was asking for in the first place. And that's what happens when we can hear the cry and we give attention to it. We can and make that connection. We can go just beyond the superficial, oh yeah, here's a couple of bucks and move on. And we could do that. Maybe people even did that. They walked past, flicked him a $2 coin and kept going. But there's nothing wrong with that, you know. I do that all the time. But it's when we stop and make that connection that they were able to go deeper than just the surface. And that's when they made the connection and they responded in the name of Jesus. What are the needs in your world? What are the needs in mine? What are the cries that you hear? Why don't you just close your eyes for just a moment and just think about some people that you know or some times that you've heard a cry, maybe some people that you feel are crying out to you. I really believe that the Holy Spirit wants to empower us tonight. Have you stopped? Have you given attention to the cry? How will you respond to that cry? How can you meet a need? Will you respond in the name of Jesus? And that takes a step of faith. You know, you can open your eyes. It takes a step of faith to respond in the name of Jesus. It's easy to meet a need, but it's hard to respond in the name of Jesus, I've found. You know, it's easy, you know, to buy a kid a pair of shoes who doesn't have any, but it's harder to kind of share Jesus with him. We've just got to have faith in our God. We've got to have faith that He's with us. We've got to have faith that He is there, that He is able, that He will move when we just speak out the name of Jesus. You know, I've just been having a revelation this year just of the power that's in the name of Jesus. It's not just a name. He's not just a man. It's not just a story. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. It's not just a name. There's power in that name. You got sickness in your body. There's power. Jesus' name has, there's power in that name to heal that sickness. I got an awesome teaching this year from your brother. He's doing all this healing teaching and how I've used to pray, God, I've got a sickness in my body, would you heal it? But he's saying, stop talking to God about your sickness. Start talking to the sickness about your God. And I'm like, that's changed the whole way I pray. It's changed the whole way I pray. Don't talk to God about your problems. Talk to your problems about your God. There's power in the name of Jesus. Don't talk to God about your sickness. Talk to the sickness in Jesus' name to get out. It's awesome. It's power in the name of Jesus. And that's what Peter and John understood. It's what they did. Hey, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. But the other thing, there's so many things I love about this scripture, but probably the number one thing, I think I said the other thing was my favorite, but this is my favorite. When he goes, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Awesome. But then it goes, Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did this, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. It wasn't just going, in Jesus' name, get up and walk. It was when he then went over, picked him up by the hand. That was when his ankles and his feet were strengthened. That was when he received his healing. Not just when he declared in the name of Jesus, but then he took that step and lifted him up by the hand. We've got to meet needs and in the name of Jesus, but not just in the name of Jesus, be healed. It's in the name of Jesus, and now I can get around you. Now I can help you. Now I can encourage you, take you by the hand, disciple you, encourage you, bring you into my life. That is what this hearing the cries and meeting the needs is all about. It opens a door for Jesus to come in, and then it opens a door for us to come in and be the hands and feet of Jesus to people. When we respond in the name of Jesus, awesome things happen. The Bible goes on to say in this story, he jumped up, stood to his feet and began to walk. Then walking, leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. And all the people saw the man walking. They heard him praising. They realized it was the lame man. So they all would have known that this guy, they've all walked past him at this point. So I wonder how they felt when they saw him. Oh, we should have just done that. It would have been a bit of a revelation to them, I reckon. But it said, when they realized it was the lame beggar that they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. And you go on to read that at this point, after this happened, Peter got up and he preached again. And by that time, the church was now 5,000 men, plus the women and children. And you know your church is big when you don't count women and children. You just go, yeah, oh, it's about that much. And 5,000 people in a couple of days, the church just grew massively because some men on the way to church decided to stop and be the church, and then the church grew as a result. And that's what I love about this story. These dudes were on the way to the temple, but they stopped. They weren't in a hurry to get there. They weren't in a hurry. I'm sure they were. They were going to the prayer service, but they stopped on the way to church, beat the church, and then the church grew as a result to over 5,000 people in a few days. And that's what we're called to do as the church. It's what I'm called to do. It's what I try my hardest to live out. And it's not easy, and it is a battle, and it is a struggle, but it's when we can hear the cries of the world, stop and respond and meet that need, respond in the name of Jesus. Amazing things happen. Churches grow. People get healed. Life is good. My last point, I'm nearly done. This is good. Your fingers must be getting sore. No, you're the man. Musos are the man. Jed, you're a guitarist, aren't you? Are you an electric guitarist? I'll spew on. Because I was going to say, this Cameron Quinn, he comes to my youth, and he's an awesome electric guitarist, and I thought you and him could come and have a guitar off, and it would have been cool. You're the man. My last point tonight. Is in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you realize that all of you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys his temple, for God's temple is holy and that temple is you. 2:6-16 goes, for we are the temple of the living God. And when I was reading that story of Acts 3 and I was reading about through it, there was one thing that just jumped out at me and really whacked me, and it was where this guy was sitting, and he was laying outside the temple gate, the gate that was called the Beautiful Gate. And as soon as I read that, I read this scripture, you know, don't you realize that all of you are the temple of God? And I just had this revelation, you know, there are people right outside my temple gate that are crying out in need of me. And tonight, whether you realize, whether you've heard, whether you're already active and helping people out, as I'm sure that we all are, but there are people right now tonight outside your gate, outside your temple, just waiting for you to be Jesus to them. It's not just for the job of the other person. It's not just for the job of the worship leader or the preacher or the person who's got it all together or the person who doesn't have their own battles. It's not just, it's a job for all of us, and we all have someone. It might just be one person. And that's what I believe the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to each of us tonight. Maybe it's that one person. Maybe it's a couple more. Maybe it's this class. Maybe it's a workmate. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to just show you who's sitting outside your temple gate. Who's sitting outside your gate, the gate called the Beautiful Gate. Because you are the temple of the living God. Because when we can hear the cry and meet the need, see Jesus move, their life will be changed. And that is what this Christianity is all about. Amen. Why don't you close your eyes with me? I'd just love to pray for you. Lord, I thank you so much for the privilege of sharing your word. And I thank you for the honor it is to serve you. I thank you for the honor it is to be your hands and feet. God, I just thank you so much that you've given us the power of God. When you left this world, you didn't just leave us alone. You left us with your Holy Spirit. You left us with power from on high. And you said you'll go to your Father. And anything that we ask in your name, Jesus, you will do for us. And I just pray for that power that resides in us to be awakened in our hearts. I pray for that power of God that can heal, that can save, that can change, that can bring life. I pray that power would be awakened in our hearts right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray over these people. God, I pray over myself that now you would just reveal to me those people just sitting outside my gate, just sitting outside my life, just crying out, needing a hand. And I pray, Lord, that we can be the answer, that we can be your hands and feet, that we can be the solution, that we can be the help that they need to see you move in their life, God. I just pray for these people. I thank you that there's people already moving in the power of God, reaching out and making a difference. And I pray for those people more, Lord, that you'll give them more people to reach out to, that you'd place more people in our lives, that you'd allow us to hear more cries, God, as your church, to be your hands and feet. Pray, Lord, in the stillness of a moment right now, you would just put a name on someone's heart right now. Put a person in someone's heart right now, Jesus, that we can be the answer and the solution to. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, why don't you just play? I'll get off the stage. I know how you want to close, but I believe that God's really spoken to you about someone in your life that you can really reach out to. And I pray that as we worship, that you just really receive that person and just really pray for them and just allow the Holy Spirit to show you what to do in that situation and in their life, that you can really be the hands and feet of Jesus. Thanks.